my feet on iron ground. My heart, I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith is caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, praise God. He is always the one that I want to be pressing on to. Always His will, always His glory, always for Him. Oh, praise God. As higher than the mountains that I face, and stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, and never runs out on me. Your love. It's higher than the mountains that I face. It's stronger than the power of the grave. It's constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Thank you. comforted and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Fails and never gives in, and never runs out on me. On and on, and on and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I never ever have to be afraid. This one. Never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never ever let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I'll never let you go. You've taken me from my clay and set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never ever let you go. You're my Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. love me for. I'll never ever let you go. My Savior, you're my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very end. I will worship you until the very
for you.
Sing that bridge with me again. I could have been 6 feet under. I could have been lost forever. Yeah, I shouldn't be in that fire. But now there's fire inside of me. Here I am, a dead man walking. No grave gonna hold God's people. All the weight of all our evil lifted away, forever free. Who could believe? Who could believe? Forgiven, forgiven. You love me even when I don't deserve it. Forgiven, I'm forgiven. Jesus, your brother. So I will say goodbye to every sin. I am forgiven. I am forgiven.
Oh, hallelujah. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We are adopted into the family of God. We are His sons and daughters. We are forgiven. He says that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. That they're gone. When the enemy, when the accuser tries to bring them up before God, God simply states, "What sin?" Because it is covered by the blood of the Lamb. It is covered by the blood of the Lamb. God will never hold our wrongs over our head because Jesus took them all. And because of that, we can say, I'm forgiven. I should have been dead. I should be in that fire. Everything that I deserved was put on Jesus so that I don't have to have it. So that I can have grace. It was all put on Jesus. In those desperate places, He paid our wages. All of them. All of them. Oh, praise God for His forgiveness. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Aren't you glad that you're forgiven this morning? Oh, hallelujah. You and I, we don't have to carry guilt and shame. We can walk in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. God sent His Son just for you, just for me, for all that whosoever will, that we could be forgiven. Amen. And, oh, the precious blood of the Lamb, it makes you and I white as snow, white as snow. I'm so pleased to be in the house of the Lord with each and every one of you this morning. Good to see Brother and Sister Goats. I'm glad that they're here. Had a good conversation with Brother Henry this morning before worship service. I tell you what, I love a child of God who has a heart to always follow after the will of God. And I tell you what, that's what Brother Henry, he always encourages me, because when he asks a question, it's always, what does God want? You know, and that's the question you and I, we should be asking all the time, continually. What does God want? You know what God wants? God wants you to have a smile on your heart that comes out on your face. He wants you to have that smile there because you're forgiven. Amen? You have victory this morning. You are a child of the One who overcome all things. Amen? If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. Now, I'll tell you what's on my heart, and we'll talk about it as we get through this, but I want us to know that just because we know something don't mean that we live in it. Amen? And so what the Lord wants us to do, the phrase that I heard in my spirit was that God said, I want my children not just to find freedom because of my Son. I want them to follow in that freedom. And if you and I will do that, amazing things happens. The testimony of Jesus goes forth. There are a lot of bound people in the world, and they need to know through you and I that Jesus is the one that can set them free. Amen. He can make us brand new. Romans chapter number 6. Let's read verses 18, and then we'll drop down and read 22 and 23. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse number 18. When you're there, say amen. Notice what the Word of God says. Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he says, being then made free. Now think about that. When you got saved, when I got saved and we got born again, we were made free. Past tense, at the moment of salvation, being then made free from what? From sin. You become the servants of righteousness. Now drop down to verse 22 and 23. Second witness, verse 22. But now, being made free from what? And become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our lives. Lord, thank you for your many blessings you bestow in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for that precious gift of freedom to follow us freely out of heaven in love in our hearts, Lord. Unbounding our hearts, Lord, give us the freedom in them. Lord, give us the wisdom in our mind, the skills, and open up our hearts to you, Lord. Tie them into your word into our lives, Lord, and step forth in your will in this day and time, Lord, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. You and I, we are so blessed that I don't even think we truly understand it. Because sometimes the enemy gets us caught up in circumstances and situations and about feelings, about difficulties of life. You know, the Lord never promised us that we wouldn't have problems, but he promised us he would go with us through those problems. Amen? We don't have to stay there. And so this morning, just by the urgency of the Spirit of God, he wants to encourage you and I of some truths. Now, I want you to know that you have freedom this morning. Amen? Praise God, we live in the land of the free, but we are in the place of freedom. Now, in Scripture, there's only one time in the Old Testament in the King James Version Bible and one time in the New Testament that you'll find a verse of Scripture that has the word freedom in it. In the New Testament, Acts 22, it's Paul talking to a Roman citizen, and he's telling Paul that he had to buy his citizenship for his freedom. And Paul said, I was born free. Well, that's the way you and I are today because of Jesus Christ. We're born free. We are born free. Now, that word freedom in that particular sense, it means citizenship. Now, Philippians, the book of Philippians tells you and I that our citizenship, our conversation, what is it, Philippians 3:20? Our conversation is not here on earth, it's in heaven. But that word conversation is citizenship. You and I, we have a citizenship in heaven. In other words, your name, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our destiny. But we're to occupy until we get to our destiny. And the way that we occupy is we allow the Lord every day to bring more truth into our lives because Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, we need to know what these scriptures says. So I want you to decree with me, put your left hand on your heart, raise your right hand to heaven. Let's let the devil know and let's let the Lord know that we believe his word. That decree, I am a citizen of heaven, therefore I'm free. One more time. I am a citizen of heaven, therefore I am free. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, for the liberty in that. Glory be to God. Quickly as we can this morning, I want us to understand that there is a presence of sin. God saved us, but he didn't save us to take us out of the world. He saved us that we would be a light and be salt in the world. Amen? And so you're going to have a presence of sin in your life. I'm going to have a presence of sin in and around my life. But just because we've got a presence of sin around us, we don't have to dabble in it. Amen? You and I. But also, we're going to look at the understanding that there is a presence of sin. There is a penalty of sin. But praise be to God, the believer who is trusted in Jesus Christ, Christ took that penalty for us. Amen? But also this morning, what we want to leave here emphasizing is the reality that you and I do not have to practice sin. We have power over sin. Amen? In Jesus Christ's name. Now, the devil doesn't want us to know that, because if we can teach people that, we're going to see people come to truth and they're going to be delivered from addictions, all sorts of bondages, all sorts of mindsets, all sorts of limitations, and they're going to step in to a new place that Jesus has made just for them. Aren't you excited this morning that because you've accepted Jesus Christ and you've been born again, born from above, that the Lord made a place in His body that you fit perfectly? Nobody else can fit there but you, but it's comfortable for you. It's proficient for you. It's very enlightening for you to others. Amen? All right, let's look at some things. Now, notice what he said there. I get so excited about this. Verse number 18, at the moment of salvation, he said, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. You and I today, we've got to tell people and encourage them, hey, I was just like you was. I was a slave to sin. But I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a servant to righteousness. Amen? To the righteous one, to Jesus Christ. Because when I was in sin, and there were certain things that had a hold on me, they had a grapple, they had a hook in me, every time I'd try to take one step forward, it would pull me two steps back. Amen? And I didn't understand. But after I got saved and started getting into the Word of God and the truth started flowing, Jesus Christ said that the Holy Ghost, John 14, down about verse 26, would lead you and I, guide us into all truth. It would remind us everything Jesus has said and teach us new things. And he said that truth would make us free. That's the reality of it. So here we are this morning. We've got to let the devil know, hey, I'm free from sin. When the devil comes and sits on your shoulder, when he knocks on your heart's door and says, this is what you always do in this situation. This is what you always say in this situation. You go, devil, I don't know why you're trying to talk to me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, first. Second of all, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not the same anymore, amen? I'm made brand new. I am new in Christ Jesus. And I am now, I'm not a slave to sin, but I'm a servant unto the righteous one, unto Jesus Christ. So let's look at that. Now, there is a presence of sin. Galatians chapter 1, turn there with me if you would. Right out of the Word of God is where we need to build our foundation of truth. Galatians chapter 1. Look what Paul says. He said, let's just read the first four verses. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Ain't you glad? Yes. Amen. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what it says, verse number 4. Who gave himself, Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was sin laden. I was bowed down, bent over, burdened down to the point of almost being immovable in sin. But Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, gave himself for me. Now look what it says. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. So this world is evil. It's full of sin. There's a presence of sin. You and I, everywhere we go, you cannot go to the gas station without encountering sin. You cannot go to the supermarket without encountering sin. Sin is all around us. But we don't look at that in discouragement. We look at that as opportunity. Because the Bible tells you and I, and we'll get into that in a moment of time, where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds that much more. Amen? So sin may be all around us, but it does not determine what you do or what I do any longer. Because we're servants to righteousness, not slaves to sin. So what I've got to do, I've got to renew my mind to that truth. That way when the devil, old slewfoot, comes around with the same things that he did in the past, I laugh at him. by the Spirit of God, by the power of Jesus Christ. Because, devil, that used to control me. That used to manipulate me. They used to steal my joy. They used to put me down in the mouth. But no more. No more, because I'm not a slave to you. I'm a servant unto the righteous one. I'm a servant unto Jesus Christ. Amen? So there is a present evil world, and there is a world that is sin sick. But Jesus saved you, and this morning you have a calling on your life. You have an anointing on your life. You have truth in your life to be able to go into somebody's world and cause them to be delivered from the one who wants to take them to hell with him. Amen? You and I, we can do what God said we could do. Jesus Christ, out of his own mouth, he said, these five signs shall follow them that believe. Come on now, you've got some signs following you to cause people to look up and to see that Jesus Christ is alive and active in your life. That he's working in the earth. The devil thinks he's got this thing all wrapped up. Guess what? He's going to get a great surprise one of these days, because when the Lamb of God appears. Come on, he's coming. Jesus is coming. And when he appears, every plan of the enemy is going to go to what? It's going to go to naught. It's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. So you and I want to be in the place where we show people there's an alternative. There's a heaven that is forever and ever and ever, where the praises to the Lamb are going to reign. They're going to sound throughout all the eons of time. Amen. You and I have been blood-bought, blood-washed to be able to sing praises to God here and now to help others to get freedom where they too can go into where God is prepared. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you.
Yes. Amen.
And we've got to tell people that. God has got a place. He wants you to abide with him forever. Amen. All right, so there is a presence of sin, and there is a penalty of sin. Let's go back to the book of Romans, and you know the verses of Scripture. We read one verse, verse 23 in Romans chapter 6. Paul made that statement. He said, for the wages of sin is death. So there is a penalty for sin. And so God doesn't condone sin. He doesn't wink at sin, but he gives an ability to get past sin. Amen? And so what you and I want to do, we want to be in the place that we give people hope. You and I, we cannot cause people to see sin by jumping on their shoulders and browbeating them. We can't do it. But what we do is we live a life before them that is so contrary to what they see around them that they say, you know, they're always smiling about something. They've always got an optimistic look, outlook. They've got a hope and a confidence. And everybody else I talk to, the wages that they're dealing out, it looks dark. It looks gloomy. It looks destructive. It looks like there's no hope. That's because they're living under the penalty of sin. But you and I, we have been delivered from that. Amen? We've got to see that. That penalty no longer applies to you and I. And so if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, then you and I, we have the ability not to have that weight upon us. We have the liberation that we can go as Jesus told us to go. We can go how he told us to go, where he told us to go. But we go in that understanding that we are the light. We are the salt. In him and through him. Amen? And so we don't want to just find freedom for ourselves. We want to follow into that freedom, and we want to be a net that would bring other people along to that same place. Amen? Amen. Now, can you get that down in your spirit, how important it is for you and I to be able to do that? There's nothing more important for that, because look at the penalty of sin. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 24, it says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In other words, since we're the disciple of Jesus, we need to do the works of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, not only the works that I do shall you do, but greater works than these. Amen? That's in the Bible. We need to not try to mark it out. We need to claim it and live it. Amen? Now notice what he says. He said, it's enough for the disciple that he be as his master. Well, Jesus, he come to me and he showed me sin in my life, the presence of sin. He showed me the penalty of sin. But then he showed me that he was the answer to sin. And so that's what we want to do, because we could keep, but we don't have time. Drop down and look what the penalty of sin is. Verse 28. The Bible says, and fear not them which kill the body. You know, we're worried about what man's going to say about us or what man's going to think about us. Guess what? They're going to talk about you. You can't stop them. You know, Jesus said, when they speak all things falsely against you, and they're very vile towards you, he said, you're blessed. He said, when they persecute you for my name's sake, he said, this brings a blessing on your life. So when the devil does that, just stand up and just rejoice. Start praising God. That makes the devil so mad, because the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And when we start praising God and the devil loses his foothold, guess what? You and I step in a new place. Amen? Now notice, here's what it gets really serious. You know the scripture, but it says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now there's a hellfire. It's a consuming fire. The book of Hebrews tells us, the last verse, is it Hebrews 12? The last verse? I'm not for sure. But it tells us that our God is a consuming fire. And I was talking to Brother Donnie about this yesterday when we was at the Ozark Memories Day deal. You see, these lights here, and a lot of people don't like fluorescent, and I'm one of them, because of the color spectrum they put off. They put off every light puts off a different color spectrum. And God Almighty, he is pure white light. Now, if you've ever studied any in school about fire, that's what they teach you. The hottest fire is pure white fire, the pure white light. Our God, he is that. But his fire is the type of fire that when it comes around the Christian, around the believer, it just warms you up. It takes those areas in your life that might be getting a little cold or might be getting a little hard even, and that fire just melts that right out of us. Amen? But the spectrum of this hellfire is a completely different color. It's a color that the Bible says that is outer darkness. See, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around it. Jesus said that they would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And even though there is a fire there that will never die, that will cannot be quenched, it doesn't give any light. And they're in total outer darkness. There's a penalty for sin. Now, why are we talking about that this morning? Because we know we've been redeemed from that. We're talking about it because the Holy Ghost wants us to be moved with compassion and to recognize and realize that every 2 seconds somebody dies and they step off in eternity. Do they know Jesus? Have they been delivered from this power of sin? Have they been washed? That's the question. So in this world, this morning, as you and I, we find freedom and we follow after it. We've got to know that there is a presence of sin around us. There is a penalty of sin that is severe. And judgment's coming. I'm sorry, Peter is being fulfilled right now. Second, yes, there's mockers. They're saying, where is the Lord? Where's his coming? I'm telling you what, he's going to come just like he said he was. Not like man's interpreted it, but like he said he was. He's coming. So they can mock, make fun all they want to. All it's doing is showing you and I that we better get ready. We better get ready to bring our loved ones in. We better get ready to bring our friends in. Because if we don't do it now, the harvest is white and it's time. Amen? So here we are this morning, but you and I need to know a message of hope to give other people. And that message of hope is that you can be delivered from that power of sin that you don't have to practice it. See, so many times, and I love it how honorable some people are. They are honorable. They're good people because they say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. They're saying, I know I can't live it. And that's where you and I come in. We tell them, listen, we can't live it either. It's by Jesus. It's by His grace. It's my trust in Him that the Bible says that He took all the sin of the whole world on Him. In other words, He took all of my sin before salvation, but He even took my mistakes, my sin that I might make after salvation. The Bible says that the Christian, if we have fellowship with the Lord and we walk in the light as He's in the light, 1 John 1:7, that He what? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This is a progressive thing. All right, so let's go to the book of Colossians. Colossians gives you and I a hope of how to live in this place, not to practice sin and not to be under the power of sin. I wish we had time to read all of this, but we don't. But look what it says starting in verse number 13, talking about God through Jesus. Look what it says, Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us. Now, who's Paul writing to? Verse number 2 tells us that he's writing to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. Say, that's me. We've got to see that this word is written to us. And you've got to recognize that you're no longer a sinner, but you're a saint. Amen? A saint simply means that you've been sanctified by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prayed to the Father in John 17. He said, Father, sanctify them through the truth. He said, Thy word is the truth. John 17:17. And so here we are right now, and we see this, and it says, Who hath delivered us from the power, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now that word power there is not power as in I'm stronger than you. Because there's no question that our God is stronger than the devil. It's authority. See, you and I, we know how weak we are when we, and so when we come up against the devil, we look at our weakness and we look at his strength and we say, oh no. It's not about that. It's about the authority. What did Jesus say to his disciples before he ascended? He said, I give all power because I have all power in heaven and in earth. And actually it's in Luke 10:19 where he said, I give you all power over the enemy. Amen? You've got all power over the enemy because of your faith in Christ. And so we look at the scripture and he says, Jesus Christ has delivered us, that's what it's saying, from the power, from the authority of darkness. See, the trouble that you and I have with our family, with our friends that can't believe what we believe, it is a darkness problem. It's Satan working, covering their mind, covering their eyes. Right? Come on, that's scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:4, out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, he said that the God, little g, of this world has blinded people. So this morning you and I need to be so excited that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. That means here I am. I'm walking along. This is my day. All of a sudden, like Psalms 23 says, there's a shadow of death that comes over me. It's just a shadow. It's not, Satan is death. Hebrews 2:14 tells us that. It's the devil, of course, and he's trying to bring something. But I've been delivered from that. So in the name of Jesus, I say, devil, no, you don't. The light is in me. The light is all around me. Shadow of death, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You take authority over that. Well, you also have a realm of authority in your own household. You've got a realm of authority over your family in the sense that you can pray for them like nobody else can. Now, you may not be able to witness to them. I may not be able to witness to them because they may not listen to us. But we've got the ability to pray for them. And because they're under us, then we can ask the Lord for a season where they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They can have a season of light. Now, notice what it says. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, you're here on earth, but you're in heaven. Come on, this scripture. You're here on earth, but you're in heaven. Because why? Because the Bible tells us very clearly that Hebrews 7:25, that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. But where is Jesus? In heaven on the right hand of the Father. But He is the head of the many-membered body. Okay. All right. Hold your place right there. Let's make sure. Let's get it from the Bible so we don't get confused. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, starting in verse number 11. Hold your place there in Colossians. It says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now notice this. In whom also you trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, we've got to see that, amen? That we've been sealed. So if I've been sealed for a reason, and I've been sealed for a purpose, and that reason and purpose is that Christ is in heaven and I'm on earth. Now, hold that in your heart, and let's back up and let's read verse number 3. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So Christ is in heaven. He's the head. I'm the body. But I have a blessing on me. You have a blessing on you. Every Christian does. Every believer does. And we're seated in heavenly places with Him. But we're here on the earth under His kingship. Under His dominion. Now, that verse that we read where it says that you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, that promise means not just salvation. It's the earnest down payment of your faith of the eternity, but it's also the earnest down payment that you can do all that Christ called you to do and be. Amen? Now, notice what it says. Drop down to verse 22. This is what God's done for us, and so we can understand it. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things, the church. So everything's under the feet of Jesus because you're in the church. And notice what it says. Gave to Him the head over all things to be the church. So when you're in Christ, He's the head, but you're the body. And this is how Christ operates in the earth. And so, if Christ is the head over all things, and we don't have time to read all this, look what it says in verse 21. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So Christ has total dominion. So I have been delivered, you've been delivered from not the presence of sin, but from the penalty of sin and from the power and the practice of sin. And that's what we want to tell people. We want to say, listen, come on to church. If you got to do something that you don't want to do before you come to church, do it, but come to church. Now, we're not condoning sin, but we're saying if you'll just be around the move of the Spirit, if you'll be around God's people, if you'll be around where the Word is being taught, all of a sudden those things that are dominating you, You'll start seeing how big Jesus is. You'll start seeing his foot on whatever that might be, rather than it wrapped around your neck. Amen? The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's victory. Amen? And that's what you and I want to preach. All right, go back to Colossians. It said, who hath delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, if I've been forgiven from sin, that means I can come up to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and he looks at me, and all he sees is the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see any of that sin. But if I let the devil show me my past, rather than the Lord leading me to my destiny, that'll always have an impact on my ability to do and be what God called me to do and be. Amen? So if we're not careful, we're so sin conscious that we miss the Holy Spirit talking to us. We miss the forgiveness. We miss the cleansing. We miss the understanding of victory. So how do I understand this? I understand this morning that there was a translation took place, that Jesus took my place. He died for my sin. But then when I accepted that, I come out of Satan's kingdom. Under a kingdom is simply a king and his dominion. And I come under the dominion, the kingship of Jesus Christ. So if I'm under his rule and authority, see, I don't have to do what Russia says. You're an American. Now, they tried to sign our rights over to the United Nations, and they're trying to take away our sovereignty, but they haven't done it. And we know what, from Bible prophecy, some things that's got to happen. But right now, you and I, we're a sovereign nation. And we don't have to do what anybody else says. So how much more do we understand that God's kingdom is the perfect pattern? And so I don't have to do what the devil says.
That's right.
Just because the devil comes and sits on my shoulder and reminds me how good that felt, how in the flesh. Come on, the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But Moses, he what? He rejected all of that because he saw God's kingdom. Well, this morning you're seeing God's kingdom. And now you are kingdom servants, and you're called out to do some things. Amen? So let's go back to the book of Romans in closing. And Romans chapter 6. And I want you to be empowered. I want you to leave here this morning so assured of who you are. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Know ye not that so many as us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now, what does that mean to us? Verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ. Now, mark that down. That like as Christ, it means simply that. Just exactly. Just exactly as Christ was raised up from the dead. When you got born again, you got raised up from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, what does that really mean to us? Because we try to confine that to a hole in the ground. It is so much more than a hole in the ground. I got raised up from the controlling power of the one who brought death, right. Satan. Right. You got raised up and delivered from that. You're above that. Yes. He is under the feet of Jesus. You're the many-membered body. That means he's under your feet. Right. Amen? Right. Now, notice what it says. He says, know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in the newness of life. Now, this word life here, it's the Greek word that you and I hear from time to time in preaching, Zoe. Zoe is God's what? God's abundant life. Jesus Christ said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ come that we might have That's the life he's talking about. So I need to do what he says. I need to know ye not. Put verse 3 and verse 4 together, no separation. I need to know what? I need to know that Jesus Christ was raised up and that I can walk, you can walk in the newness of life. Glory. So there is a presence of sin, but I've been delivered from the penalty of it. And now I have the ability to resist the power and the penalty of sin and all those things under this recognition that Jesus gave me power. The devil doesn't have power over you and I any longer. Now look what he said. We've got to get this together, I know. He said, "For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also in the likeness, shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this," verse 6, mark this down, you got to know this, "that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now notice what it says, "For he that is dead," she that is dead, no gender intended, "for the child of God that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." So when you got saved, when you got born again, and then you got baptized into the body of Christ, you even partook of water baptism as a symbol to the world, that was a symbol to the world that the old man died and the new man come to life. Amen? And so you've got to know that, and I've got to know that, and we've got to know it so intimately that we walk in this newfound freedom. We follow it. We walk it out. We live it out. When the devil tries the same old things, because the devil, he doesn't have anything new. Like Brother Corey and I talk about, like he likes to talk about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? So we've got to see this. Now, one last verse. Here's how you do it. This is how I do it. Verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you understand that the life that is in you, remember Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, "I was crucified with Christ, but I'm alive." I'm paraphrasing. I'm alive. It's not the life that I live, but it's Christ living in me. So when the devil knocks on your heart's door and brings something to be discouragement or disruptive, some type of sin, let Jesus Christ answer. Let Jesus stand there, because Jesus overcome him. And because he overcome, the Bible says, hallelujah. Now that's finding and following freedom. And that's bringing freedom to others. All of a sudden, they'll come up to you and they'll go, "How did you ever stop doing that?" And you go, "I didn't. But Jesus in me. Jesus in me." You know, we look for the big things to be the most amazing and most spectacular. You know, when we think somebody else's testimony is better than ours, you know, and all this stuff. But it's the little things. Because if you let the Lord deliver you from the little things, all of a sudden, you've got the faith and the confidence that the big things can't have any control over you either. Right. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we honor you. Father, we thank you that we have been delivered from the power of sin. That through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have freedom. We have victory in the name of Jesus. We have victory because Jesus is not just on the right hand of the Father. He's on the table of each one of the believers, the blood-washed heart. And this morning I ask that you just stir us to this truth and let us walk with so much light, so much authority, so much salt that it encourages all of those around us. And it helps us to be in the place and the position to do what you called us to do, to bring in the harvest. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Draw us right now with the power of your Spirit, Father. Oh, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have an altar service. Then we're going to have special prayer for some people who needs healing. How many knows that the Bible tells us that God sent his word and healed them?
Yes, amen.
Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The word brings healing. The word brings healing. Jesus is that word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Amen. But I want you to come this morning and make yourself an altar. And I want you to start praising God for the reality that you are free. The, praise him that you say, well, Greg, there's some little thing that's hindering me. Praise God for freedom. Don't acknowledge that. Give it to Jesus and then thank God that you've been made free. Thank God that you have victory. You've been translated. You're not under the authority of the devil. You're under the authority of the Almighty God. Amen? Hallelujah. You are somebody. Hallelujah.